Okay, we're starting here at the top of Lamed Aleph, Aleph, four lines down. Itmar, Lul, Patuach, Mirabait, Laliyah. So you have a sunlight, a window that is opened between the lower floor and the upper floor. And there's days, those were two houses. Somebody lived on the lower floor, and then somebody lived on the upper floor. And there was a staircase that allowed access between the upper floor and the lower floor. But in order to prevent people from freely walking between the two, they built a containment closet around the top of the stairs and the bottom of the stairs. So up at the top of the stairs, there is walls around the hole at the top of the stairs that has a doorway in it, allowing you access to the upper floor. And then down below, at the base of the stairs, there's also walls built around the base of the stairs with a door in it to allow access to the bottom floor. The truth was, it was there not to allow access, but to prevent access. That someone from downstairs couldn't go upstairs and just walk in, and somebody upstairs couldn't come down and walk in downstairs. So Amar Rav Huna, yesh lo petach echad, chayav mezuzah achat. If it only has one doorway, it's chayav one. Yesh lo bet petachim, chayav shtei mezuzot. If it has two openings, then it requires two mezuzot. So over here, the two openings or one opening depends on the top and the bottom. How many of these walls are built around? Is there a wall only built around the upper part of the stairs? And if there's only one doorway on this staircase, that would require one mezuzah. If there's both a doorway built around the top of the stairs as well as the bottom of the stairs, then you require two mezuzot. Each one's independent of the other, and each one will require a separate mezuzah. Amar Papa, Shma Mino, Mid Rav Huna. From Rav Huna we can conclude, Hayin Drona, De'itle Arba Babe, Chayav Arba Mezuzot. This Indrona, which we had yesterday, which is quoted as the Achsadra de Beirav, were Kindrona. Kindrona, where Ranchi says, Kambura, which I thought again may be chambers, but a room, a regular room, that has four doorways of access into the room. According to what we just read now, it would require four mezuzot. Pshita, of course, but what do you think otherwise? Otricha. Afogam derogil bechad. That he uses one of them on a more frequent basis, nevertheless, all four of them require mezuzot. Now this throws us back to yesterday's daf. We had, in yesterday's daf, we quoted the braita about Rebbe, and Rebbe there had a door into the Beit Medrash right by his seat, and he did not put a mezuzah on it. Rav Huna had one by his seat, and he did put a mezuzah on it. The Gemara's answer was the rogel avo, that Rav Huna's was rogel, and Rebbe's was the low rogel ba. So over there in the Gemara yesterday on Lamed Gimel and Aleph, we said that if the low rogel ba, you don't need a mezuzah. Over here, it's saying the low rogel ba requires a mezuzah. So how do you reconcile between them? Rashi brings two ways to reconcile between them. If you look in Rashi, afogad the rogel b'chad min ayut vei da damranel hachalaych achar a rogel hani milikon treba. That's only when you have two doorways. When you have two doorways, and one of them is the frequented one, the other one is used infrequently, then the infrequent one is batel legabe, the frequent one, and you only put up one mezuzah. Over here we have four doorways. Even if one of them is more frequent, you can't say that it's mevatel all the other doorways. So the first answer, Rashi, is a matter of numbers. It depends on how many numbers you have. Are there one versus one? Over there you can say it's batel. Or is it three? Three against one. If it's three against one, you can't say that it's batel or mivatel, those three, and therefore all of them require mezuzot. That's the first answer. Lishne achrino az mitshuvat agonim. He says over there, ki aminan alach achar ragil. When is that true? Harbe b'nei adam regilim. Let's say v'lavobo. Olin ute pitcho darabi she'en esu yelo levado. It's got to do with the number of people that use this doorway. If the doorway is built specifically for one individual, then that doorway does not require a mezuzah because he's the only one who uses it and uses it infrequently. If it's built, a doorway is built for multiple people to access through it, then already you don't have a din of ragil and ain't no ragil anymore. Then it has a din of mezuzah. Doesn't matter if it's infrequently used, as long as it's more than one person that's using it. So the difference in the second answer will be the number of people using this doorway or this access egress. Is it one person? Don't need a mezuzah if it's the low ragil ba. Whereas if it's used by multiple people, even the low ragil ba, you will require a mezuzah. So the two ways that Rashi reconciles between what we have here versus what we had in the previous Gemara. Now this is all according to Rashi that said that that doorway was an additional doorway into the Beit Midrash. And it was a question of, did you use this doorway or the main doorway into the Beit Midrash? Tosafot over there says Beit Midrash is patur mi mezuzah. The only question was because it came from his house directly into the Beit Midrash, and over there, Ragil or Lo Ragil will make a difference because technically the Beit Midrash is Patur. Only if the Ragil Ba then would open up the idea that possibly the house could be Mechayiv that door. And that's only the additional Ragil over there is different than the Ragil that maybe we're speaking at over here. Amar Meimar. I pitcho the Akarna Chayab Mezuzah. The doorway that is in the corner of the walls, that is requires a Mezuzah. So Lamei Rav Ashi the Meimar. Where are the door posts? Where's the door frame? When you put in a door at the corner wall, where's the door frame? Amalei Adei Ptzimei. Harei Ptzimei. The end of the walls are considered to be the Ptzimim for it. So that even though, technically, when you go to the end of the walls, where they meet in the corner, if you pull them back a little bit, you don't put up a door frame. That's just the end of the walls. So since the end of the walls, maybe you would say that it's not a door frame. Along comes a Meimar to say, a Meimar says back to Rav Ashi, those are the Ptzimim. Those are the doorposts that make up the door frame, even though they're not physical doorposts, but because of the end of the walls, that's enough. Now we enter into the next question, which is, Papa, iklo the Beimar Shmuel. What the Beimar Shmuel? Chazo hau pitcha. That he didn't have a door frame or mezuzah on one side, and it made a mezuzah. This happens frequently in houses, which is you have a doorpost on one side and a wall on the other side, a flat wall on the other side. The question, do you put up a mezuzah? So here in the Beimar Shmuel, they did put up a mezuzah. Malay, come on. Who do you hold like? Which sheet are you holding like that you're putting up a mezuzah here? So he says, Ki Rabbi Meir. He says, I'm holding like Rabbi Meir. So he says back to him, Imar Dama Rabbi Meir Miyamin. Mismol Miyamar. He says, Rabbi Meir only agrees when it's on the right side. Here it's on the left side, so why would you do it? Maihi. What is the story here? What's the story? What are we talking about? Right side, left side, and who's Rabbi Meir over here? Titanio, we have a bright Al-Mazuzot Beitecha. What does Beitecha mean? Bi'atcha min hayamin. The Ederson, Beitecha means to be bi'atcha mi hayamin, coming in from the right. Atalmer min hayamin oin ala mismo. Is it on the right side or the left side? Tamalomar Beitecha. So that you learn out, Beitecha my Talmudo, what's the limud? Amarobo. Derach biyatcha min hayamin. You always enter from the right side. Dichiakar yishkarei demino akar. When a person lifts up his foot, he always lifts up his right foot first. He enters with his right foot first. So since he enters with his right foot first, therefore the right side is the governing side in terms of the mezuzah, which side you're going to put the mezuzah on. Now, he said, listen, I don't understand why you're putting up a mezuzah here, because you're putting up the mezuzah on the patzim echad mismola. There's only a left side door post, but there is no right side door post. So why are you putting up a mezuzah over here? And here we have another proof on the right side. Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamei d'Rav Papa shmei d'Rav Barula mar hamehacha. So here, this is the Haftorah for Parshat Shkalim about Yoash HaMelech when he sets up to renovate the Beit HaMikdash. And over there he instructs, V'yichach yoida kohen aron echad, put up a box, big stucco box for the shul, a collection for the Beit HaMikdash they were collecting for the renovations in the Beit HaMikdash. V'kov chor b'dalato, he put a hole into it. V'yiteno toed sa mizbeach miyamin. He puts it on the right side of the Mizbeach, Bavo Ish Beit Hashem, so that when people came into the Beit Hashem, they go to the right, and to know, Shama Kohanim, Shrei Asaf, it's called Kesem Uva Beit Hashem. The Kohanim would put all the money there. So when you entered in the Mikdash, you enter in from the eastern side, walking towards the west. If you turn right at that point in time, you'd be facing the northern side, and they placed the stucco box over there on the northern side of the Mizbeach, because that's the way the people walked. When they came in, they would go to the right. So since when they came in, they go to the right, that's where they put the box to collect the collections for the Beit Mikdash. So again, you see this idea that people gravitate towards the right, or people always go to the right when they enter. Just interesting, it should then make a difference which leg you walk with first or which way you go. Person to righty, maybe versus the lefty, which way do they turn? Now, maybe with a doorway which is not governed by the individual but by many individuals going through, we say that the majority is the rules over here and therefore the right is what determines and not by the left of the individual. My Rabbi Meir. So now who's this Rabbi Meir? We understand the right-left thing. Now what's this Rabbi Meir? Dayan, Baichin lo ela patzim echad. Any house that only has one door post, one mezuzah. Rav Meir mechayev mezuzah, v'chachamim putrim. Rav Meir says chayav, chachamim say patur. My time at the Rabbanon. What's the reason behind the Rabbanon? It says mezuzot k'tiv. Mezuzot in the plural. My time at the Rabbi Meir. Rav Tanya, mezuzot. Shomer ani miyut mezuzot shtayim. I would have thought the minimum of mezuzot is two. Shomer mezuzot again. V'parsha shniya. It says mezuzot once in Shema, mezuzot again in Vayayim Shemoah. Shein tamad omar. Habei ribui achar ribui. Two and two. Ribui achar ribui. Ben ribui achar ribui. Took it back to being one mezuzah. So if you only have one mezuzah, that's sufficient to make you chayav in mezuzah. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's the limit of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't have to learn it that way. Shomer, Ala Mashkof Ashtei Mezuzot in Mitzrayim. When it says you put up the mashkof, you put the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, Shein Tamal Omer Shtei. Mezuzot, if by definition mezuzot mean two doorposts, then why does that say Shtei Mezuzot? The two doorposts. That would mean four. So what does it mean Shtei Mezuzot? Ah, Mat Shtei Matam Lomar, Shtei Ze Banaav, Koma Kom, Shnemer Mezuzot, Eno Lachat, Ad Shifrat Lecha Katuv, Shtayim. By the fact that the Torah says Shtei Mezuzot, that tells you that anywhere else, Mezuzot by itself means one Mezuzah, means one doorpost. Because the addition of Shtei over here tells you that's a Banaav, it's a precedent, it's a paradigm, that the word Mezuzah, Mezuzot is defined as one Mezuzah, and therefore you need Shtei to teach you that it means two. And when you don't have Shtei, it's going to mean one Mezuzah. So both Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Meir of the same Shita, that only one Mezuzah, if you have one doorpost, that's sufficient enough to be Mechayev you. So now, going back to the question here, he walked into the house of Eimar Shmuel, then he saw a pitko, only had a doorpost on the left side. So now, he said, who do you hold? Like he says, I hold like Rabbi Meir, who says one doorpost is enough. So he answered back, that's true when it's on the right side, because I can prove to you that the right side is what governs over here. And since it's the right side that governs, when that doorpost is on the left side, that's not classified as a doorway. So even though Rabbi Meir believes one mezuzah, he believes it's got to be the right mezuzah, not the left mezuzah. Right. Maybe you should write it on stones. It says by the mezuzah, so you have the ktiva by the mezuzah. It says ktiva. Over here Rashi says the halan means by the cut of law, sefer kiritut. By the get, it also uses the term sefer and ktiva. Now we saw before that Rashi quoted ktov zot bezikaron sefer, he had quoted also another pasuk, which is by Amalek. At the end of Bishalach, he quotes about the ktiva b'sefer there. Here he doesn't mention that as the alternative. So now, ma ktiva la halan ala sefer, avkan ala sefer. Just like by the get, it says, v'katav la sefer kritut, means the ktiva ala sefer. So to hear by the mezuzah, uchadam, al mezuzot petecha, uvicharecha, that ktiva will also be ala sefer. Tosfos just points out over here that Rashi says the gzer shava, as we pointed out before, is between the ktiva of the sefer kritut of the get, and the ktiva of the mezuzot. Tosa says, no, when you're the farish, the ktiva that he learns out, mi ktiva at the parsha sota, or mi ktiva the mishnah Torah, shemelech kotev. So that is where we have the words ktiva also are written, that he disagrees with Rashi. It's not from the get, because over there you're allowed to use different things. You used to use other items to write get, you don't have to use dio. So he says he thinks it's either from parsha sota or parsha melech, which are written like sifrei Torah. And that ktiva is the gzer shava here to the ktiva of mezuzot that teaches you b'sefer u'b'dio. Oh, klachlo derech zu. Maybe it should go the other way. Nemra kan ktiva, v'nemra lahalan. The halan over here, ktiva, is by Hargrizim and Harival in Dvarim, where he tells Moshe that they're going to do the whole ceremony at Hargrizim and Harival. Over there, it tells you that you should be kotev al ha'avanim. You should do it on the stones. So mal halan al avanim, just like by Hargrizim and Harival, you write the Torah on the avanim. Avkan al avanim, maybe two here. By the mezuzah, it should be done on the avanim. Nero the midome. Which one is it more similar to? Donim ktiva hanoheget adorot, ktiva hanoheget adorot. Gitin, hanoheg, forever. The mezuzah, also hanoheg forever. I mean, it's not just applicable to a single moment in time. Vein tanim ktiva hanoheget adorot, miktiva shenoheget adorot. By mezuzah, which again is a mitzvah that's in perpetual mitzvah, versus the har gizim and harival, which is a one-time event, a one-time ceremony, a one-time event. Therefore, we won't learn from it. And similar to what we saw in the Pasuk Nirmiyahu, which we also quoted on Friday's daf, that we were quoting it to learn how to write, whether it has to be dictated, whether you don't dictate in certain situations. That was machloket rishonim, depending on how you learned the Gemara, about what you do with this. Over there it says, Vayomer lehem baruch mipiv yikra, Eli, Yirmiyahu, says the Baruch Ben Neriah, he was to dictate to me, at the Devarim Eilev, and he kotev ala sefer b'dio, and I wrote it on the sefer in ink. So there he tells you what you do. Writing is ktiva ala sefer b'dio. That's what you do. You write on a sefer with ink. That teaches you what type, what's called ktiva. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Ravashi, Rachmano amar amzuzot, v'at amar k'nelef ktiva ktiva. You're learning out a gzera shava of ktiva ktiva, and art, the Torah says mezuzot. So he says, amar kra uchtav tam ktiva tama, v'adar ala mezuzot. Mean that it's straight from the parsha. It says uchtav tam, and then amzuzot beitecho bisharecha, that you should do a ktiva tama, write properly, and then place it on the mezuzot. So that would indicate that you can't write it on the mizuzot directly. You can't write it on anything else. It has to be put up on the mizuzot after it's written properly.
How would you expect the Torah to write it?
I think they're dashing the Tama part, not the Chtav. Although, truthfully, it should be written in plural because the whole Vayim Shemo is written in the plural. So you're right. So it is definitely a Mesorah of a drush of Ktiva Tama. Chtav Tam is Ktiva Tama. Mechar Dechtiv Uchtav Tam Hagzara Shavalomali. Now, once you have the Ktiva Tama, that you don't need to know about Ktiva Ktiva to teach you that it has to be safer in Bidio, because it has to be Ktiva Tama. It's a nice print, and as Rashi says, in Ktiva Tama Leitzim Babanim Alal is safer. Can't write nicely when you're writing on wood or on rocks. It works out nicely when you write on paper. So that's the wear of the parchment. That's where you should be writing, because then you get a clear print. So then what do I need? The Gzeir Shava Ktiva Ktiva. So now with the Gzeir Shava Ktiva Ktiva, what am I going to do with that? It says, Ila Gzeir Shava Amina Lichtava Avanim Belikva Asefa Kamash Malan. I would have thought, had I not had the Gzeir Shava, I should write it on stones and then put it up on the doorpost. Now, writing on stones, we just said it's not Ktiva Tama, so I would have a Havamin. So over here, it does not mean to write on the stones, but rather to etch it into the stones. You would think that you have to chisel out the parsha of Shema and Vayayim Shemola into a stone and place that up as the doorpost. Meaning that you wouldn't have to, you don't write it on a claf and then attach it to the doorway, but rather you write it on the doorpost itself, but not through ink, but rather through etching or through chiseling out the Shema Vayayim Shemola into the wall. So that's what the Ktiva Ktiva comes to teach you. No, Ktiva that we mean here means Ala Sefer. Ktiva Ala Sefer, and then we have a Ktiva Tama, tells you write it in a Sefer and then place it on the door. So I need both of them. One is to tell me that it has to be written beautifully. Written beautifully is only on a Sefer. And number two is, okay, so don't write it with ink and with the Sefer, write it with etching onto the stone. That we have the answer of the Gzeir Shav that teaches that it has to be Ala Sefer Bidyo.
Were you saying that he chisels it onto a separate piece of rock and then attaches it to the wall?
That rock that he writes in the Sefer, etches it in and he'll place it up on the doorpost and that'll be the mezuzah, which would work out nicely because then you'll have the Gzeir Shav of Ktiva here to the Ktiva of Har Gizim and Har Eval, and that would be exactly like the Ktiva there. Right now, where it says, on to tefillin. We did mezuzah, time for tefillin. Agra poshiyot shebetefillin, makvot zuadzu, v'filu ktav achad me'akvan. Where it says, pshita, of course. You have to write out all the parshio. What's the question that one oath is made of? Same thing we saw by the mezuzah. You need it for the edge of the yud. Remember, Rashi says it's the right leg of the yud, whereas the Rabbeinu Tam thinks it's the left side of the yud, and the Rashi ends up the other upper half of the yud. So we end up with three legs to the yud. One onto the right down, and on the left side we have a line that goes up and down on the left side of the yud to accomplish or to get through all the rishonim and the kotzo shoyud. That's a tzurat oath. So of course you need to put that in. Lo nitzruchela the idach to Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Damer Yehuda Merav. Just like we saw before, that you need mukaf kviyot for the otiyot. Rashi back there says you need mukaf otiyot. That means that the otiyot can't be touching each other. The Beit Yosef on that says that Rashi might mean that only when you create the otiyot you have to be mukaf kviyot. After the otiyot are created, maybe you don't need mukaf kviyot. There are others that believe, no, that mukaf kviyot is a din in the oat and the tzurat oat, even after it's created, you need mukaf kviyot in order for it to be classified as a oats shira. Right now, Tarabanan, litotafot, litotafot, litotafot. This is a drasha we learned together in Tzvachim, in Sanhedrin. The drasha does not exist. We've talked about this many times. That the Gemara here says the totafot chaser, and then one totafot that's malay with the vav there. Harikan dalit, because you have two that are chaser, one is the malay, and therefore that's how you get the dalit parshio. Divir Rabbi Shmo. One other thing to note here is that Tosu says the word totafot. How do I know that the word totafot are speaking about the tefillin shel rosh? The Tosu says nira the lashon totafot who are rosh itzal metzach. That tells you that's the head by the forehead. How do I know that? From the Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos quotes the jewelry of women that they're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Over there it says totafot v'sarbitim. Over there they're talking about totafot and sarbitim, which are some sort of jewelry that went from temple to temple across the forehead. So that's where the totafot were something that sat at the top of the head. Inami nikru totafot shem shem barosh b'nei einayim. Because they're between the eyes, lashon habata. In other words, to look out. Inam taifin, he quotes other sources for the fact that it means to look out, just like the tzitz. The Ibn Ezra quotes by the tzitz, and the tzitz comes from the word mitzitz min acharakim that's used in Shira Shirim. That means to look out also, and the tzitz is also found between the temples on the forehead, and that's the same thing as the totafot. They mean the same thing. The last interpretation he brings down is that the totafot is filin nira lashon bikuach, because of the term vayifalel pinchas. Pinchas took on Zimri ben Salu and Kazi ben Sur. Over there is Vayifalel, Shasapilotin Kono, and he challenged his creator. Therefore, why is Tefillin called Plilot? Hashem Shem Hochacha Shashem Nikra Alav Yireim Menu. Because that is a proof, an edut, that this person has the Shem Hashem on them by putting on the Tefillin. And that's how he shows others, and others will be afraid of him because he has these Tefillin on. So that's the Bikuach. He's making his position known. He's making sure that people know that he's a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shem Hashem is on him. And that's why they're called Tefillin from the word Vayifalel. So that's the three different derivatives according to Tosfos for the word Totafot over here. This is the famous Rabbi Kiva that says Tat in the language of Katri is two, and Pat Be'Afriki is Shtayim, and therefore Totafot is two and two, gives you four. Now, Rosas over here points out, like everywhere, that this Totafot and our Sifrei Torah are not written like that. There's no, between the Totafot, the Pei and the Tav, there is never a Vav that's in there, which would have indicated the plural. We don't have any totafot like that. We have all of them are written chaser. The only extra vav is like you see here between the tet and the tet. That's the only time that you have the extra vav. So now, if you move that vav along, fine. Only allowed to move around letters at the beginning of the word or the end of the word. Here you can't move a letter from the middle, a vav from the middle between the tets, and move it over to the pay and the tav. That doesn't work. So what are you going to do over here? How do we deal with this? And that's the first Rabbeinu Tam, the vav comma. He says, the extra vav there, we move over, and that's how we get to the extra vav, because there you can be Gorin and Mosifin in that instance. But that's just a note. I always said over, I think that the drasha that's really out of the Mechilta over here is the difference between that which is found by the Rosh and that which is found by the Yad. Because by the Yad, it's always Ukshartam Be'ot Al Yadecha. And the term that's used for the Tefillin Shel Yad is Ot. So the first one, I had to have a minas, what the Milchota says, that I should Ot. When I have the four times Ot, should it be one Ot or four Otot? So based on this, it repeats the same word for the Shel Yad four times. It says the Ot Al Yadcha. So therefore, since it's Ukshartam Al Yadecha, Ukshartam Ot Al Yadecha, therefore, each time it says it, it comes to me Ma'ayit and say you don't need an extra bite. You don't need an extra bite. That is not true by the Tefillin Shel Rosh. By the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it says three times Totafot, but one time it says L'Zikaron Ben Einecha. And therefore, I would have assumed L'Zikaron Ben Einecha, if it comes to repeat it, it should repeat it the same thing it said in the first place. By the Yad, when it wants to tell me it's one bite, it repeats the exact same word, even though there are four parshiot, repeats the same description to teach you that all four parshiot go into one compartment. On the other hand, by the Shel Rosh, it says Uzikaron ben einecha, and that zikaron ben einecha is then followed by ulototofot, ulototofot. And each time it changes it, it teaches you that new din. That the din will be that it has to have an extra compartment. And that's what it means here, the totafot, 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 the three times that it mentions it, instead of mentioning the zikaron ben einecha, instead it mentions totafot, 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 teaches you that each one of those means an additional compartment, and that's how you get the four compartments by the Shel Rosh. So that's, I think, if you look at the Mechilta, I think that's the proper way to read it, and not about the chaser and the yeter that is found here in the totafot. Nevertheless, here we have what we call our Tefillin Shel Rosh. Tefillin Shel Rosh that have four compartments in it. Tanabanan, yochol yichtevim al dalet orot, batim. I would think you write it on four separate parchments and put them into four batim. Bidalad orot, Talmud Omar, ulzikaron ben einecha. Zikaron echad amar, tichav lo bet begimel zikronot. It says zikaron ben einecha that you have to have one zikaron and not multiple zikaron. Haketzad. So how do you do this? Kodvan al dalad orot. That how do you accomplish this? Obviously, you have four different compartments here. You have to split those compartments and put a klaf into each one of those compartments. So you are going to write it on Dalet Orot. What changes or what makes it into a single entity? The fact that the tefillin are made from a single piece of leather, a single piece of or. So even though there are four compartments, as Rashi points out here, the four compartments are pushed out by the mold. And by pushing out through the mold, you take a single piece of ore and create four compartments. So even though there are four compartments, even though there are four orot, klafim that it's written on, nevertheless, it's considered to be one unit because they all come from one piece of leather. V'im katvan bu'or echad, v'nichan b'dalet batim, yatsa. If he wrote them on one ore and placed them into four batim, yatsa. then it's okay. Bitzarach shiye revach b'nehem divrei rabbi, and there has to be a space between them, that's divrei rabbi. Rashi explains here that this is speaking about the parchments, the klef that you write the parshiot on. And that's what you have to do here, according to Rashi. If you look in Rashi, it says, hey, revach ben ha-parshiot. That you have to have a revach between the parshiot. When you write them, you have to leave a gap on the klef. So that space will be where the parchment sits between the compartments. So even if you write it on a single klef, and you leave blank spaces in between, what you'll do is you'll push the Shema up into the first compartment, you'll have a blank space, and you'll push Vayayim Shemoa up into the second compartment, and so on and so forth. Each blank space will allow you the ability to loop it under the compartments and put it, the Parsha, up into the compartment that it belongs in. So that's what the Rabbeita is saying according to Rashi, which is that you write them on a single or echad, and you put them into Dalbatim. That's according to Rashi. The explanation of the Rishonim explain it otherwise about what the Revach is talking about here. It's talking about the compartments themselves rather than the klaf on which it's written. You don't need that at all. B'shavim, everybody agrees. Now this, according to Rashi, is even talking about, agrees, is talking about the batim, that you have to put a chut or some sort of string between each of the compartments. So between each bayit, you put a string on the charitz that's there in order to separate the compartments one from another. And if you can't tell that there are four compartments there, then it is pasul. Even if there are four compartments, but they're either painted over and they're done in such a way that it doesn't indicate that there is a space between them, then that is pasul.
You put
a stitch, a gid, between each of the compartments. You run a gid through the bottom of the compartments to ensure that they are separated. When they make them originally, they're split apart, those four points. So they drop a string down to the bottom of the compartments.
On the outside, not on the inside.
No, not on the inside, on the outside. And then they close it on the string. So you have a braita that shifts from talking about the parshiot to talking about the batim. The question is, where does that shift happen? According to Rashi, it happens after the revach menehem. According to other Rishonim, it shifts earlier in there, and therefore it's not talking about Revach ben HaParshiot, but rather Revach ben HaBatim. But we know for sure that the Braita shifts, it's just a question of where in that Braita it shifts. Tarabanan, Ketzad Kotvan. How do you write your tefillin? Kotvan, Tefillah Shel Yad, Kotva Al Rechat. When it comes to tefillin Shel Yad, you write them on a single parchment. He wrote on four separate parchments and put it into the single compartment, then he's Yotzei. Tzarech L'davik. And then you have to glue it. So the question, what do you have to glue over here? So Rashi says, you have to connect the four pieces of parchment that you wrote the parshiot on to put them into, make them into a single parchment. Now, b'tfira, or b'devach, you're occurring glued. With glue, or with stitching, you have to put the parchments together. Shneamar, v'ya lecha le'ot al yadcha. Shem she'ot achat mi'b'chutz, kach achat mi'b'fnim. Just like it has to be a single oat on the outside. A single oat meaning that there's only one message being projected because it's all square, it's one compartment. So to inside, the parshiot have to be connected because there's only one ot bifnim, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, eino tzarich. You don't have to do that. You don't have to glue them together. You don't have to stitch them together. You can leave them separate inside. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi, umodeli Rabbi Yehuda berebi, shim ein lo tefillin shel yad. If you don't have tefillin shel yad, v'yesh lo shtei tefillin shel rosh. And he has two tefillin shel rosh, shetola or al achat mehenu menicha. So if you only have two tefillin shel rosh, no tefillin shel yad, then you need a single oat. You need a single piece or compartment for the tefillin shel yad. So how do I solve the problem? I take a piece of skin and I cover over the four compartments of the tefillin shel rosh, and now I make it into a single compartment. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees to me in that instance that that will work. That will work to make it in from a tefillin shel rosh, from four compartments into a single compartment. But what do you see from this? Moda, I don't plug tayu. How could Rabbi Yehuda agree over here? Because that would have been their machlokas. If I cover it over with a piece of ore, what's the story with the parshiot inside? The parshiot inside are in four different compartments. That means they're separated inside. If they're separated inside, Rabbi Yehuda said, doesn't work. You have to have them all together. Just like it's an oat on the outside, it's got to be an oat on the inside, a single oat. Then why would Rabbi Yehuda agree to Rabbi Yossi in this instance? If he agrees to Rabbi Yossi in this instance, then basically he's not arguing with Rabbi Yossi anymore. So that's what Gemara says. That's Hainu Plik Dayu. Amarava Midvarav Shabbi Yossi, Chazar bo Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Yossi says, you see that Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position. Because if Rabbi Yehuda is more than Rabbi Yossi, that this works, that means he must have retracted his position, because otherwise, how can you explain putting up a single piece of skin on top of a shel rosh and making it into a shel yad when you have four parshiot that are separated inside? The only way that works is if you don't believe they have to be connected on the inside. From that, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yehuda must have retracted his position to accord with the position of Rabbi Yossi. Now, it could be, if you go to the sources over here of the Braita and the Seftot, it's not so clear that these two Braitot are talking about the same thing. One is talking about the parshiot, the other one is talking about the compartments on the outside, not addressing the issue of the orot on the inside, the orot that are connected on the inside.
I mean, unless you hold like the shape of that, one clap is okay.
So it could be, let's start with that, could be a case where there is one clap between them, and therefore it's not a stira to Rabbi Yehuda, he just says that you can combine the compartments. That's one. Or number two is, he could open it up and put in a clap that has all four. All he's doing here is allowing you to get rid of the four compartments by putting a piece of ore on top of it. So if you go to the sources, it's maybe not so clear that these both brightos are talking about the same thing. Here the Bavli believes, or reads them writing about the parshiot, and therefore it believes that Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position and took on the position of Rabbi Yossi. Oh, Ini, is that really true? Vashalach Rabbi Chananya, Mishimei, to Rabbi Yochanan, Tfila Shayad, Usimuta Shorosh. Tfila Shayad, you can make it into a Shorosh. Shorosh, in Usimuta Shayad, but Rosh, you can't downgrade Shayad. The fee, Shayim Moridin, Bikdusha Chamura, Kdusha Kala, Malin Bekodesh, Vein Moridin. And since the Tfila Shorosh is more Kadosh than the Tfila Shayad, why is the Tfila Shorosh more Kadosh than Mishimei and Shayad? So I would have thought because it goes on the Rosh and not the Yad. Rashi says, because if you look at the Shem Hashem, we spell out the Shem Hashem on our Tfila. The Shem Shakai. Of the Shem Shakai, the three letters, two of them are found on the Shel Rosh, and one of them is found on the Shel Yad. The Shin, which is found on the Tefillin themselves, you have a Shin on both sides of your Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the Dalet, which is the knot in the back of the neck, that's the Shin and the Dalet. The Yod is the little knot that you have on the Shel Yad. So of the name Shakai, two of those letters are found on the Shel Rosh, one letter is found on the Shel Yad. So Rashi says, oh, Tefillin Shel Rosh have more Kedusha because of that. Again, you could have just answered that Tefillin Shel Rosh have more Kedusha because they are the Tefillin Shel Rosh. They're in the placement of the Rosh, which is an area that should have more Kedusha than the Yad. So now, because of that, you can't downgrade from Rosh to Yad. So how are you going to deal with this Braita that suggests that Rabbi Yehuda allows you, according to Rabbi Yossi, to cover over a Tefillin Shel Rosh and make it into a Shel Yad? You're not allowed to make a Shel Rosh into a Shel Yad. My answer is up, no problem. Ha, ba'atikta, ha, bechadato. Depends what you're talking about. If these are newer old Tefillin, used Tefillin, you can't downgrade because they've been used as a Shel Rosh, and therefore you can't downgrade them to a Shel Yad. Tefillin have yet to be used. Even if you made them to be a Shel Rosh, they've never been used as a Shel Rosh, you can downgrade them to Shel Yad because they never attained the Kedusha of Shel Rosh because they were never used in the Maisa Mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Rosh. And the Gemara Megillah, there's a machloket about whether Azman HaMiltahi is when you prepare something to do a Mitzvah, does that have a din already of being getting Kedusha of the Maisa Mitzvah on this object? So when I prepare the Tefillin Shel Rosh, I make a Tefillin Shel Rosh, does it then assume the Kedusha of Tefillin Shel Rosh, or only once I wear it? So if it's only once I wear it, you don't have a problem here because you can downgrade it before you've worn it. But if you say just preparing to be a Shel Rosh, then how do you downgrade it from Shel Rosh to Shel Yad? Because even when you haven't used it, just prepared it to be a Shel Rosh, that's enough to deter you from or disallow you from downgrading it from Shel Rosh to Shel Yad. The answer is, even if you think Azman HaMiltah is, you can make a Tanai in the beginning. You can make a condition and say, I'm going to use this either for Tefillin Shel Rosh or Tefillin Shel Yad. As long as you make a Tanai Mi'ikoro, you make a condition up front that you're allowed to use it for either one, but even when it's assumes the Kedusha, when you do that Zmanah, it has the Kedusha of both of those items. Either one will be okay. And that's how you solve the problem here. So the Braita that says you can downgrade is only either before you wore it as Tefillin, or in an instance where you prefer it as Tefillin, but you had a condition that you can use it for either one. But once they've been used, then you can't downgrade it because Malim Bekodesh, Vein Moridin. So once it's been used as Tefillin Shel Rosh, can't downgrade it to a Tefillin Shel Yad. And the next Sugya is one of the most important Sugyot in Tefillin, which leads us to the very famous Machlok at Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam as to Tefillin of Rashi and Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. It's all of a couple lines here, and it turns the world over. The Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Sodran, what's the order of the Tefillin? So it says, Kadesh Li, Ve'yakiv Yecha Miyamin, Kadesh, Ve'yakiv on the right side, Shema Vayayim Shemoa Mismo, and Shema Vayayim Shemoa go on the left side. Right, left of what? Here the Braita doesn't tell us anything. V'atanya ipcho. Don't we have a Braita that flips it and says just the opposite? And Rabbi Elokasha, kan mimino shokaro, One is talking about the right, when you're talking in reference to the one who's reading the tefillin, meaning someone who's standing opposite you would read the parsha to read the tefillin. And one's talking about the right of the one who's putting the tefillin on. And the one who reads them in order. So here, to take a look, I brought you the diagrams of the different tefillin. We'll start out with tefillin shel Rashi. And the way Rashi and the Rambam both explain it over here. Rashi, we look at Rashi, it says, Kami min shel kore, kami shel meniach. Shel kore omed neged meniach, abi yemino shel zed lesmon shel zed. But kore, kore kesidran, what does that mean? Keseder shein ketuvim b'Torah. The way they're written in the Torah. Mukdam, mukdam, mukhar, mukhar. So the order in which the parshiot are written in the Torah is Kadesh, Vayakev Yecha, Shema, and Vayayim Shemoa. According to Rashi and the Rambam, that's going to be the order of the parshiot in the Tefillin. Now, what about the Gemara that we just read over here? Hilkach, Hak, Kanelel, Kadesh, Vaviyacha, Kiyaviyacha, and Binyamin. When the first brightness says that the Kadesh and Vaviyacha are on the right side, that's Mimino Shel Koreh. That's on the right side of the Koreh, of the reader, Kamar. The Hashtahu Shel Koreh Kedarko Mimino, because he's reading from the right side. To this Molo, to his left side. Vinimsa Koran Kesidran, Vahad, the Tana Ipcho. And the brightness that says the opposite, the Mashma Kadesh and Vaviyacha, come from the left side. That's talking about from the perspective of the Meniach, to the one who's placing its fin on, to Yamin Shel Koreh. From the one, it's the right side of the Koreh, but the left side of the Meniach. So if you look at the picture of Rashi's tefillin, you can see Kadesh Aviyach is on the right side for the Koreh. And if you're the one who's putting on the tefillin, like in the picture over here, from the left side, that Kadesh Aviyach was from the side of the Meniach, Kadesh Aviyach. The problem, which Rashi really does not address over here, is the second half of the first bright. So the first bright that says Shema Vayim Shemoa Mismol. What does that mean? That Shema Vayim Shemoa Mismol. Obviously, Rashi's reading it that they go on the left side. The Shema Vayim Shemoa goes on the left side, and they're a continuation of what happened in Kadesh Vaviyecha, and that's because the Gemara concluded about Kore Kore Kesidran, that you read them in order. The Rabbeinu Tam is obviously going to jump on Rashi and says, I don't understand. The way that the bright is written, it seems to separate the two groups. There's a group called the Yamin, which has Kadesh Vaviyecha in it, and there's a group called the left group that has Shema Vayayim Shemo in it. Now, according to you, Rashi, you're reading Yamin and Smol differently here. You're reading that the Yamin means the Yamin of the Koreh, the Yamin of the one who's reading it, and then how are you going to read left for Rashi? But it says that Shema Vayayim Shemo on the left, he's not reading it from the left of the Koreh of the reader. He's talking about they go on the left side. They stick on the left side. And in terms of perspective, they're all written in the same direction. So Rabbeinu Tam says, listen, why did you have to do that? Why don't you just say Kadesh Miyamin, Rashar Mismol? The other three go on the left side. Why is the Gemara break them down into two groups? Why is the Braita break them into two groups? It must be that they're broken into two groups to teach you that each one is from its perspective, which means that Kadesh Vaviyecha is Miyamin. Miyamin means start on the right side. Shema Miyam Shemoa means start on the left side. Start on the left side, then you have Shema to the left, and Vayam Shemoa in the middle. The siman to this is Havayot Be'emza. That you put the Havayot in the answer means that Vayak Vayach and Vayam Shemoa is in the middle for the Rabbeinu Tam. The other one is that you have the shin on the outside. The shin's on the outside. Shema goes next to the shin, which is on the outside of the tefillin. You have the shin there. That's Shita Rabbeinu Tam. Now, you would think that Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is premised on this logic, which it is. He says, listen, the Gemara seems to divide them up. I don't understand. So if you divide them up into two groups, it must be that each group is talking about starting from the outside. And he brings a proof also from the other Gemaras that when it talks about Mirosh, means that Bayit HaChitzon means from the outside inward. That they hear the Bright is describing outside in, and therefore it's Kadesh Raviyach and Shema Vayim Shemor are outside in. And therefore it's Mimina Korei, but the Kadesh Raviyach are on the right side, and the Shema Vayim Shemor means from the small, small meaning they define the same way that the right is. Just like right means from the outside in, the small means from the outside in, on the left side. Now the Rabbeinu Tam says, V'chein Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon also did the same thing, and this is what Tosfos quotes over here. That Rabbeinu Tam is not just because of his logic, and because of the problem he has in the Gemara, therefore he's rereading it, it comes up with a new pair of tefillin. The Rabbeinu Tam has a Mesorah to this effect, that Rav Haigon also did the same thing. V'chein B'tshuvat HaGaonim. And also in the Tshuvat HaGaonim, Shekatav HaRav Yov Yosef Tov Yileim. Over there he also writes that this same thing happened. V'hayda Kamar HaKorek Sidram. So now what are you going to do with a Korek Sidran? Because Sidran, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't work here. A Korek Sidran, you're not reading them in the order of the Parshiyot, the Torah. So what does it mean, a Korek Sidran? So that's Lav Kamo Sheper Shekuntris, Kaseder Shetuvot B'Torah. It doesn't mean that the way they're in the Torah. Elam Afresh Redenum. Do you see a bright of the Ketzet Sidran? It's the end of the bright of how do you put them together? V'kormar Shekorek Seder Shemunachim B'Tefillin Mimino V'Smolo. Benu Kadesh Rabbi Yecha. V'ayayim Shema. V'afil lo yehei min a bright in Kashiklum. says, even if it's not a part of the Braita, it's not a problem. But he says, I think it's a part of the Braita. And that, what does it mean? You read them in the order that they are put in, which is Mimino the Smolo, from right to left, which is Kadesh Rabiecha. And then afterwards, Vayem Shema and Shema, you read them in the, they're put in. If you start from the right, they're written in that order. And you start from the left, they're written in the order that they're put in. So therefore, the order is modifying the previous statement in the Braita of right and left. And right means read them in order from the right to the left. And the other ones start from the left inward, they're also in order. If they're from Shema to Vayayim Shema, going in from the left side. So that's how he does it. And if they're not part of it, he says, I can reread it, it'll be fine. Tosus takes issue with Rashi, with the Rabbeinu Tam for two reasons. One is the Mechilta. He says, the Mechilta sounds like the Pesha Kuntris. Our Mechilta doesn't really have this. Other Rishonim quote the Mechilta, which is in, I think, TVI or Oxford does have it in the Mechilta. But the Mechilta there says, and basically lays out the Parshiot in the order that Rashi says. It says, Kadesh, Rabiecha, Shema, Vayayim Shema. Straight in order. And it's talking about the compartments of Tefillin Shel Rosh. Sounds exactly like Rashi. So that's one issue. The second issue he has with Rabbeinu Tam is how do you write the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam? We said before that you can write the tefillin on a single parchment. You don't have to write them on four different parchments. So now if you bring it on a single parchment, we know that by tefillin, that they say there's ma'akev, that the order, you have to write them in order, and you can't go back and erase. Tefillin have to be written ala seder. What are you going to do now? For Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to write Kadesh Vaviecha, and then Havayam Shema and Shema. They're out of order. And they're supposed to be written, and we have them for the Gemara, they have to be written ala seder. Again, the Mechilta says ala seder, that they're written in the Parshiyot Torah. So Rabbeinu Tam, what are you going to do? So Tosfos in the end says that's not such a big question, because how do you do it for Rabbeinu Tam? Right, you go, you skip, and then you come back. Which is that you write first Parshat Kadesh, then Parshat Vayayim Shema, leave a blank space, write Parshat Shema, go back, and write Parshat Vayayim Shema. By doing that, you create them in the order that the Rabbeinu Tam needs, but you're still writing them Alaseder Shiva Torah. By skipping, leaving a blank space, and going back, you're writing them Alaseder of the Torah, but writing them in the placement of which Rabbeinu Tam needs to have the Vayayim Shema before the Shema. Now, does Rabbeinu Tam only apply to Tefillin Shel Rosh, or also to Tefillin Shel Yad? So there are many Shonim that believe that the Rabbeinu Tam is only applicable by the Tefillin Shel Rosh, but in Tefillin Shel Yad, he'll agree to Rashi that's Keseder Ketivatan, that you don't have them out of order in the Tefillin Shel Yad, but in Tefillin Shel Yad, the Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin will be exactly like the Rashi's Tefillin, and you only need, the difference will only appear in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, not in the Tefillin Shel Yad. Now there are two other opinions that appear about the Seder of the Parshat Tefillin. There's the Ravid. The Ravid is Meisig on the Rambam. He's quoted on the Rambam. And over there he says, I don't understand the Rambam. The Rambam is like Rashi. He says, Kaseder Ketiva Tam Batori, put it in. The Ravid says, number one, Rabbeinu Hai, Eino Omer King. Rabbeinu Hai disagrees with the Rambam. El Havayot Be'emsa. The Havayot V'Hayaz go in the middle. That's exactly like the Rabbeinu Tam. Except that the Ravid says then, Mimin HaMeiniach, starting from the right side of the one who's putting it on. So what ends up with the Ravid is exactly the opposite of the Rabbeinu Tam. It's Rabbeinu Tam Shita, but reversed. So if you look at the picture, you can see in the Ravid that it's Shema, then Vayayim Shema from starting from the right of the Koreh, then Vayikaviach, and then Kadesh. Because he has the same din of the Rabbeinu Tam, he has the Rav Hai going, but he says it's all from the perspective of the Mimin HaMeiniach. And the one who's placing it on. And the Rebbe says, I don't understand. What does it matter what the Koreh is doing? Who cares about the person who is looking at your tefillin? The tefillin are made for you. You're the one putting on the tefillin. It should go in the order that you are, from your right to your left, because the tefillin are your tefillin. Why should it matter what the Koreh is doing? And therefore the Rebbe says it goes after the Meiniach. And it goes right to left based on the Meiniach, the one who places the tefillin on. Now there are a lot of reasons to believe otherwise why it should go to the Koreh, especially by the tefillin Shel Rosh. And that is, we're going to learn in the Gemara, Veru Kol Mayaretz, B'Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. And there the Gemara says, that's Tefillin Shel Rosh. That the idea of Ot Al Yadcha, that you have an Ot on your Yad and not for other people, is about Tefillin Shel Yad. By Tefillin Shel Yad, it's your own Ot, not someone else's Ot. By Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Ot is for other people as well. So therefore, the Koreh is important over here. It's not just the Meiniach, but the Koreh is also important. That could be also the difference between Kadesh and Vayayecha versus Shema and Vayayim Shemoa. That by Kadesh Vayayecha, they might be miyuad for the others to see. Those are where you see the word Ot is used in the Zikaron Be'enecha. Those are used as to be projected outwards. Whereas maybe the Shema Vayayim Shemoa are for the Meniach, for the person who's putting them on himself. And therefore the Shema Vayayim Shemoa, according to Rabbeinu Tam, will be Mimin HaMeniach. Whereas the Kadesh and Biyacha will be Mina Korei. So it might be a way to explain the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, why you have the difference in order from the right and the left side. The last Deyon is quoted by many of the Rishonim from the Shimusha Rabbo. Shimusha Rabbo is written on the Hilchos Tefillin, quoted in the Rosh, quoted in other places. The attribution, it's not clear. Some of the Rishonim say that it was attributed to one of the Gaonim in around the 700s, somewhere in that time period. But many of them have questions about the authenticity and whether the veracity and the clearness of the halachot in there. In the Shimusha Rabbo, many of them quote it that the din in the Shimusha Rabbo is like Rashi. Like Tosos over here does that. If you look at the bottom of the Tosos, he quotes the Shimusha Rabbo, and he says that the Shimusha Rabbo, tikkun tefillin mashma kaperisha kuntris. He says it's like the perisha kuntris. Now, he says, because it says, and I'll quote you the Shimusha Rabbo in a second, but many of the people who read the Shimusha Rabbo thought the Shimusha Rabbo said was going from the Meniach's perspective. So therefore he has Rashi Shita, but from the perspective of the Meniach, of the one putting it on. So therefore he'll be Rashi's tefillin flipped around, basically. And then, I'll read you here, the Shimusha Rabbo says, K'tiv hani abra parashio damura banan b'kilfa, u'mahadar ape l'ape. The question of what that means. What does it mean, mahadar ape l'ape? So he turns his face to his face. Does that mean someone else looking in? And then Meshavi Parsha Tad, the Kaddishli, puts in Kaddishli, Kol Bechor Li Minei, Bechor Bechor to the Minei, Bebeit HaKama. And Parsha the Samich Le, Vayakev Yecha, does Kaddish on the right side, then the one to next to it is Vayakev Yecha, Bebeit HaTinyan on the second one, Parsha the Shema Yisrael, Betli Tal on the third one, Parsha the Vayem Shemo, Berviyato in the fourth one. From the quote in the Shimusha Rabbah, it sounds like the Shimusha Rabbah is exactly like Rashi, but many of the Rishonim quote the Shimusha Rabbah as being from the Yad HaMeniach. And they must have had either a different gears, or the quote that they had from the Shimusha Rabbah, that was different. Now, the Shita Mekubetz over here mentions it also, but the Rosh quotes, and he'll quote Ketanah to the Rosh, he says, Ulufi shenechlechu b'darvet zeh go'ne olam, since we have a machlokes, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, utfilin shel elu psulim leilu, and one is possible for the other. Rabbeinu Tam is possible according to Rashi, Rashi is possible according to Rabbeinu Tam. Ramuva machomim, makom yesh rosh laniach sham beis tefillin, v'chem b'zorua, and also on the arm. Yirei shemaim, yitzeh yidei shnehem, yaseh shnei sugei tefillin, yaniach shnehem. Make Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, put both of them on at the same time. And make sure, lo yaniach shnei zugim b'kis echad, make sure you don't put them into the same tefillin bag, because echad min ha-zugim cholhu, so they take b'kis shel tefillin. Only one of them is Kodesh, and not allowed to put whole things into the kis of tefillin. So you have to create separate tefillin cases for them. But he says to put on the tefillin at the same time. Put on both the tefillin shel Rosh and the tefillin shel Yad simultaneously, because there's room for two pairs of tefillin, both on your Yad and your Rosh. Others, like the Sefer Shuma, brings down, and then, he says the Shemesh Rabbah says the same thing. Rabbeinu Yaakov Mefarshim the Beit Shlishi Vayem Shema Beit Revi'i is the Shema. So first of all, you should know that Rabbeinu Tam is not the starter of this position, and he has well based, he has on his side, he has Rav Hai Gon, Rav Shriya Gon, and many of the Geonim held like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the sheet does the Rabbeinu Tam, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam bases it on. But then he says Im Kein Anachta Gonim Pasul the Tiver Rashi. So he doesn't quote it as Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, Rashi's tefillin, quotes it as the Geonim's tefillin and Rashi's tefillin. Says the Geonim's tefillin is Pasul to Rashi. So therefore he says Reish Shemayim Mishum Brachol Batala. You might be making Brachol the Enu Menichan Raka Tiver Echad Min Geonim. You only do it according to one of them. What it's going to be. And if you can't get both tefillin on at the same time, because you don't know how to put on two tefillin at the same time, then what you should do is put on, make the bracha, and put on one set of tefillin. Then immediately take those tefillin off, and put on the second set of tefillin. And even though there's going to be a bracha of the shel Rosh in between the shel Yad, and that could be a hefsek, we'll say that it's not a hefsek. And then leave on the second pair of tefillin, whatever it is, and leave it on forever. He doesn't tell you which one to leave on. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. But he says to put both of them on in order to not be a bracha b'vatala. So that's the suggestion of the Sefer Truma. The Shulchan Aruch quotes and says that the Iker is Kedivei Rashi, and we put on tefillin Rashi, and he says the Yirei Shemayim should put it on like the Rabbeinu Tam. We do find other quotes, and this is important, we find other quotes from like the Shuta Rambam and the Smag that say that they found tefillin. So this argument is not simply an argument in Svara, it's not an argument about Misora, but it's also an argument. They went back and they looked in the evidence. They opened up old tefillin and they found them. So there are reports of the Rambam saying that, and there's a quote here, in the Tshuvas Rambam that says, Valanshe, there's a quote that Valanshe Mizrach, Valanshe Eretz Tzviya Kodmanim, Kacholgim Azir, Vamruli Chachamim Nemanim, Shpitchu Tfilin Shrabbeinu Haigon, that they opened up the Tfilin Rav Hai. They found him, Matsushin Tuvin, Asidish Amarti Bechibur. And they were in the order that I said in my Chibur, meaning the Rambam. The Rambam is now saying that they found Rabbeinu Hai's Tfilin, they opened them up, and I'm right. My Arashi and me are right. That's the Seder of the Tefillin. That they, even all these people claim they're high, go and believe that the Parshiot elect their Rabbeinu Tam. We have Rabbeinu Hai's Tefillin. We opened them up, and I got this from the Misora. They opened up Rabbeinu Hai's Tefillin, and sure enough, they looked inside, and they were like Rashi, like me. And he says, Varaya Brua B'dor Zenimur Perakal Komets, and the Raya is to us from our Gemara here. Korei Al Seder Torah, Kadesh Leva V'yachash Mavayim Shema. Ruch Zach Zeloyu B'sparim Shalanu Beretz Marav. That this Nochach was not in the Eretz Israel. I went through all the old girsot. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael keeps this mitzvah. I do have some evidence that there was a problem with the keeping of the mitzvah of tefillin at the time of the goyim in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe because of that weakness, there came some safek, and people ended up putting on the tefillin like the Rabbeinu Tam. And that's what the Zedut, he says, a quote, says the Chacham, that put on tefillin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Then he came here to us and realized that the Gemara had this Keseder, Katuv B'Torah, and that everybody else was putting on tefillin like Rashi. And then he changed his tefillin over to tefillin shel Rashi. Also in the Smag, at the end of the Smag, who discusses this issue, he says, everybody holds like Rashi, Divrei Rabbeinu Moshe, like the Rambam. Gam shalchu ktav mi eretz Yisrael shenafla bima shel Kevri Yechezkel. Kevri Yechezkel, which is found in Iraq, was guarded by the Jewish community of Iraq. There are people who are called Shomrei Kivrei HaNevi'im, and the Kevri of Yechezkel HaNevi was at a Mesorah, where it was. And that the bima, the upper part, fell in. Umatzu sham tefillin yeshanim. And in there they found old tefillin. I'm not saying, I don't think the Smag was saying that they were tefillin of Yechezkel, but they must have been put into Geniza there. It's tefillin, very old tefillin. Meod, Keseder, and they opened them up, and sure enough, they were like the Rambam and Rashi. So over here you have a machloket between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, even in the Raibud and the Shimush Rabbah, not solely about the logic of how to fit into the Gemara, but about what the Mesorah is, and what the old tefillin looked like. Here you have the Rambam testifying the fact that they opened up Rav Hai's tefillin and they found him like him. We have this Smag saying that they found old tefillin in Kevri Yechezkel that looked like Rashi and the Rambam. But on the other hand, we have the Rabbeinu Tam, who quotes Rav Shmira Gaon, Rav Hai Gaon, and many of the Gaonim, that agreed to the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, and obviously of the belief that Rav Hai's tefillin looked like that. When Rav Hai wore tefillin, he wore tefillin that he held of, like the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. So the machlokas here is not simply a machlokas in the Gemara, but a machlokas in the Mesorah. What is the Mesorah? And everyone's looking for that evidence in the old tefillin as to what the Mesorah is. Again, we said the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you should put on like Rashi, but you should be Choshesh or Yesh Shemayim will put on like Rabbeinu Tam. There's also a famous story about Rav Moshe Feinstein, who did not put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. The Lubavitcher Rebbe asked him why he didn't put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. He says, I don't have tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. So towards the end of his life, when this story took place, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, if we send you, I'll send you a pair of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin if you agree to put them on. And kachayo, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent over a pair of Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and supposedly Rav Moshe towards the end of his life put on the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin in addition to the tefillin of Rashi. As it has been confirmed, I've heard from his sons and from others that have confirmed that this story was true, and that towards the end of his life that Ramay should put on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. The Gra was very against this. The Gra said only to put on tefillin Rashi, not to put on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam whatsoever, because tefillin Rabbeinu Tam are garnished and it could be a problem about Tosif. Some of the others speak about the problem, why it's not a problem about Tosif, because it's not, as the Rush discussed it, because you're not Mosif a bite. You're only putting on another, you're putting on another kishut, putting on another nice thing. So you put on a nice thing, that's fine, then you put on another piece of decoration, piece of jewelry, you're not putting on as a shame tefillin, that's what the Rush says over there, to put them on. And out tonight, you put on the one saying whatever one is the mitzvah should be the mitzvah, the other one should be a kishut, it should just be a decoration. But because of the problem about Tosif, and the fact that the other tefillin are garnished according to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam is nothing, therefore the Gra believes you should only put on tefillin shel Rashi and not put on the tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we'll stop with that.